This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
.207 on your Afternoon Drive at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. Good afternoon, everybody. Phone numbers here are going to be 490-5858 and toll-free 800-776-5858. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook Live at Drive KMJ. Joshua Weekly stands by to screen your calls this afternoon while I join Skip Echeverria back in the KMJ studios.
Good afternoon. The air conditioning feels nice.
Feels nicer when somebody else is paying for it, doesn't
it?
There
is that too, yes.
New buzz question today at KMJNow.com, brought to you by the Boz Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Centers. Today asking, do you cut back on electricity use during a flex alert? Let us know at KMJNow.com. Again, the daily buzz question is sponsored by the Boz Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Centers. Skip, are you one of those people who is mindful of your flex alert?
Yeah. In fact, I gave the husband the heads up yesterday that there'd be a flex alert.
Good.
We moved the, the thermostat to something that's comfortable, and then putting off, we don't need a reason to put off doing laundry or running the dishwasher. We'll wait. How about you, Philip?
It just occurred to me. I don't know. Are you one of those households that went ahead and sprung for the double washer, double dryer because of all the children that you have?
No, just one in one. Okay. But they're all in charge of doing their own laundry. I don't do anybody's laundry.
Good for you.
Sometimes when I'm nice, I'll put away Mr. Skip's laundry because it drives me crazy when it's in a basket.
Our divisional labor is a little different. Generally, I do all the processing of the laundry. When it comes out of the dryer, it is a combination of my wife and daughter's problem.
Okay. All right.
But if I do a couple loads every morning, shake everything out on the bed, when I come home, everything will be neatly put away.
Okay. That's nice.
Works out. And it keeps us from getting into the flex alert because I'm doing laundry at 6:30 in the morning.
Okay.
I've got the Google Nest thermostat, and I've programmed it up, so doing the whole pre-cooling thing, thermostat's not even close to cold at this time of day. I actually go up to 80 degrees because it gives me my little Eco Leaf.
Just want a little badge. That's okay.
Because I'm a joiner. Really, 80 degrees with a fan going is acceptable.
Yeah, wear clothing or no clothing accordingly as is appropriate. First of all, what do you think the percentage is on the respondents of the Daily Buzz question?
I would think around here, after all the trouble we've had with brownouts and blackouts, I would think 75-25, yes.
No, in fact, I'm going, who are the team players in this bunch? No, it's 39% yes, 61% no.
Wow.
Because apparently actively pushing back against, something like a flex alert to keep everybody's AC on is too liberal. I don't know. I'm trying to understand this.
Wow. Or it could be that we have an abundance of exceptional people who have already paid to have solar installed and don't need to pay attention to it.
Dude, this output here after we've been talking about, I think this is what it proves. It proves that sometimes folks will vote just to mess with the outcome.
This is one of these sassing?
Yeah, I do. And I know that because I saw this and I went, oh, is that how we're playing? Because we've been begging folks to, be careful. It's getting hot. The power grid does not handle it. Maybe there are a lot of folks that don't have to do it because of solar. Or I do think sometimes that there is this knee jerk reaction of, I pay my bill, I don't have to do it. But the reality is if we don't have enough power, then everything gets shut down. Then people who do need electricity to be able to, not die, we don't have it. And so it's just frustrating because it's not super hard to cut back a little bit.
This is one of those things that's crossed my mind from time to time, because having just the most basic layperson's understanding of how solar really works. Because I just kind of assumed that when you had solar on your house used the solar power and then took whatever else it needed from the grid, and that was that.
Now it all goes into the grid.
I was ignorant of this for many, many years. And thanks to Chris Moran from Solo Negotiators coming in and spending hours talking to people about how it works, I understand now that, yeah, your solar's actually feeding the grid and you've got a meter that's tracking how much you're putting into the grid, which then offsets how much you take out of the grid. Solar's great, and it's really, really helpful, especially at a time like this. It's not the end-all be-all. I'm seriously considering, between the outages that we have as a consequence of PG&E's failure to maintain infrastructure and the associated wildfire risk, the results of the Daily Buzz question today at KMJNow.com, look, people be people, and I get the I'm paying for it, so I want to use my stuff attitude. I've been really seriously considering doing either a power wall or a built-in generator so that when inevitably the power outages come, because until somebody really cracks the whip on PG&E and until the I pay my bill, I'll run my air conditioner to 65 if I feel like it crowd, either gets hip or at least gets the latest in technology to make that an economical prospect. I don't think I mind paying a little bit for some diesel to go into the generator to keep it alive.
Well, and I think that's the part where if you've made a choice to do solar, it's great for a lot of reasons. But if the power goes off, the power goes off unless you have the backup battery. So when it comes to this, I mean, I saw it and immediately just went to, this is like when kids go to a pizza party and then they look around and see how much pizza. So then they grab extra pizza, not thinking I'll leave a little extra so everybody gets some pizza. Socialism. I just think this is, I know. I just think that this might be some of a a posturing bit in the voting here. Because I do think the fact that we still have our power on, right now at least, is showing that the power grid is able to handle it. And I'm fingers crossed we're not going to have any issues later on in the week. It just makes it really, I think for me, I could be uncomfortable. Fine, I can come to work. But I do think about people who are sick or elderly or whatever, and you need to have the power on because you're running life-saving stuff.
Well, and that's the other thing that crosses my mind a little bit. And this is probably, suggesting a level of coordination and cooperation bordering on fantasy. But there are facilities, of course, hospitals being the first one I think most people think of, but there are facilities all over any region, but certainly our region, that have backup power arrangements and have uninterruptible power supplies, have backup generators. You get out to even some of the big agricultural operations will have these backups in place because you can't not have the ability to milk cows come O-Dark 30. I wonder what the effect on the grid would be if there was a mechanism that allowed, and I'm going to look right at Radio City because we got backups. And I know my engineer is going to be he's got his head in his hands just going, oh, don't make my job more complicated. But a facility like ours that has that ability to switch to backup in the event of the grid not being available. What if we ran our backup? Because backup systems aren't meant to just run for 5 minutes. This isn't like the little APC right that you put on your computer in your office at home. This is real, meant to go for days kind of stuff. What if during a flex alert, the businesses that have, the entities that have those backup infrastructures cycled 1 hour on their backup through the flex alert specifically to not draw power from the grid?
Yeah, that seems like it would also give the opportunity for that system to run and make sure that if you're not having any issues with power disruption and whatnot. I like that idea. In the meantime, California residents can help reduce the stress by setting thermostats to 78 degrees or higher, avoiding the use of those major appliances so you can do the laundry later, turning off unnecessary lights, using fans instead of the air conditioning and unplugging unused items. This could help as that flex alert is going to into effect. And between now and then, though, make sure that you have charged up your phones and stuff, because if the power goes out, that could be problematic.
And for those of you that want an excuse to go buy more toys, Ryobi, they've got their OnePlus platform, the 18-volt system, interchangeable batteries, every tool you can think of. You can swap the batteries between them. They have a power inverter that you could definitely get multiple laptop charges off of one of the bigger batteries. You could keep your phone running for a month off of one of these things.
I'm just not going to answer my phone because I'm going to be like, oh, I didn't charge it. Flex alert.
I'm just saying, if you're looking for backup power, the little bricks you can get at the Apple Store are nice. This will keep your phone going for a week.
It's a new era in News Talk, only on News Talk 580-1059 KMJ.
If you miss any part of this show or maybe Broski Mousson, Bray Appleton, the weekend lineups, you can find the podcast available at kmjnow.com. You can also find the latest news, and we have details up there about Californians being asked to power down during extreme heat. We've covered with you that there will be a flex alert urging you to cut back your electricity from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. today to avoid power shortages. And we were talking about solar is a great option. It does put power back into the grid. But if you don't have the battery backup or the generator, the power goes out, you're still kind of, you know, stuck there sweltering in the heat. So we have a phone call that's coming through, 490-5858. Phil joins us. Welcome to KMJ.
Yeah, I heard Philip and you guys talking about, he said a power wall and then maybe a generator. Well, I wanted to make him aware of a Senate bill that may affect his ability to buy a generator, or he may want to buy it before 2024. The California Air Quality Board, and their bill is AB 1346. They want to ban the sale of all small gasoline-powered equipment, lawnmowers, chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So either buy before 2024.
Yeah.
Your state government doesn't want gasoline. They don't want anything, but I'm sure they'll write some exclusions for their needs.
Well, Phil, I'm wrapping my head around this because it just wasn't on my radar.
It's small off-road engines.
And leaf blowers and lawn mowers and outdoor power equipment. And so we're talking about stuff that's all kind of in this small, in, you know, 25 horsepower
mm-hmm.
or less.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Phil, let me ask you this. I'm on board with clean air and fresh water. I really am. But I'm also on board with having appropriate technology to replace the technology we are phasing out. Is there any battery that I can buy, any Tesla Powerwall that I can buy that will give me a cost per use hour equivalent to a little gas generator?
No, not that I know of. And I'm not qualified to make that assessment, but there's no, you know, they're going to ban chainsaws. So the guys fighting fires are going to go up there with handsaws. Huh? You're right. That's the problem I have with all this. Today's a prime example of why we don't need electric cars. They're asking us to
not charge our cars,
not use the grid. Wait a minute. We don't have enough power for our uses right now. How are we going to have all these vehicles? How many billions of kilowatts or amp hours or whatever is it going to take to charge all those? And we don't have enough right now. We can't run the air conditioners.
So, Phil, I'm really glad that you brought this up because AB 1346 just hadn't made it onto my radar. But this is, brace yourself, because this is probably going to come as a shock. I'm looking at the legislation co-authorship laundry list, and it's Democrat, 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 Democrat.
Philip, all the problems we have are involved with Democrats. They are the problem.
It is once again the well-intentioned idiocy of people who have never developed calluses in order to feed their families. Orinda, Los Angeles, Silicon Valley, South San Francisco, the closest thing that we have to anything resembling a working neighborhood is the distinguished gentleman from Hollister.
Well, I think that folks from some of those areas do have like agricultural background. I see Jason coming through. Do we want to have like solutions, or is it just throw our hands up in the air? Because this comes back to the conversation that we just had about the flex alert and the power grid. I understand there's options to help fix it, but like.
Skip, it's not that I'm saying don't phase out harmful emissions. Dude, I am 100% on
board. Yeah, you don't want to chew your air or get lung cancer from it. I get it.
I'm there. I'm with you. I literally, part of this conversation started with me talking about when I put solar on my house, when I spend $30,000 to be, or whatever the hell it's going to cost me, to be a little bit greener and not have to be so reliant on PG&E. I'm into it, man. But what Phil said about firefighters not being able to go into the woods with real chainsaws, that's problematic. And they're named specifically on this list.
Well, and then so that's where, rather than all the problems are the Democrats, is to have that argument right there. Hey, Sacramento, what are you going to do about the chainsaws? Because then there is the opportunity to go, oh, wait, that doesn't. But necessarily apply, but some of the small motors, they're just, we can move away from them.
But the Democratic supermajority in Pyongyang West is part of the problem, because even when you get a serious, sober-minded, God help me for saying it, a serious, sober-minded, centrist Democrat, or God forbid, a Republican put their hand up and say, you know, those fires we're having are going to be harder to fight if everybody's up there with 18-volt electric chainsaws. They're not heard. They're shouted down, if not simply ignored. And Mark Berman and, hey, everybody, look who the co-author on this is, Lorena AB5 Gonzalez, the biggest example of well-intentioned idiocy in Sacramento in our lifetimes. I'm not saying don't look for alternatives. And I know everybody used to jerk my chain. I bought an electric lawnmower at my old house. Just run a power cord. Be easier than screwing around with the old gas one, right? I took grief about it for years. People called me and made jokes about giving me streamers to put on my electric lawnmower. Little pink tassels to go on the handlebars. I didn't care because it worked fine, because my front yard was, my lawn was slightly smaller than the studio space.
So it would make, and it didn't like challenge your masculinity or ability to like own your space.
I did make a point of always mowing my lawn while wearing a wife beater and carrying a glass of bourbon just to make sure everybody knew I was straight, because it was an electric lawnmower.
I was going to say maybe shirtless, really present yourself.
No. Still too far out of the Santa spectrum, even 10 years ago. My point is that phasing out bad emissions is great. Saying that in 4 years, we aren't going to have real chainsaws or gas generators in a state that's going to desperately need both because PG&E and the CPUC still haven't solved all the problems is unforgivably stupid, which is what I've come to expect when I see Lorena Gonzalez turn up.
Right. Well, and I think Phil brings up a really good point about, you know, what happens in these cases where you can't charge your electric car, right? So then we go back to the original question that came in, and that is our buzz question. When there is a flex alert and an ask to reduce, is there a collective decision to try and do that? Or is it, nah, I'll just get mine. You shouldn't have bought the Tesla. It's a struggle both ways because it can't be met with that all of a sudden, like, you know, knee-jerk reaction.
Could have bought a Chevy Volt and some solar so you could charge it.
The Countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
2:37 on your drive home. It's Philip and Skip on KMJ. Talking about the Flex Alert, a proposal making its way through Pyongyang West to take away your little generators. Oh, and the chainsaws firefighters need to stop the great big fires that will inevitably cause more blackouts as we get deeper into Flex Alert season. And Jason hanging out at 490-5858. Jason, welcome to KMJ.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What's up, man?
Are you there? Yeah. No, I just wanted to give my perspective on the Flex Alert, the energy situation. You know, I farm and I see a lot of meters go around, especially in the deep wells, especially this year with the drought. There's a lot of those going. There's not a lot of water in the canals. So basically we've got almost every farmer is running a well this year, no matter where they're at.
Uh-huh.
So basically my perspective is, you know, for every one of those deep wells, I mean, they're anywhere from 30 horsepower to 300 horsepower around there, averaging around 150 probably. So every one of those 150 horsepower wells, you know, you're going to have to probably, to equal one of those wells, you're going to have to, you know, have probably 500 houses shut off their AC, at least.
Okay.
So, I guess for me, you know, we run like 10, and we're a small group. So, you know, we pay at this peak time of harvest or a peak time of irrigation when it's hot. You know, we're paying in the tens of thousands of dollars in energy. So if I turn my AC off or I'm hot in my house, that's not going to make a dime's worth of difference to the grid. Because I understand how much energy is going through the grid and all these different facets of energy. So,
Jason, is there anything
to make a difference?
Jason, is there anything to be said for in agriculture promoting stuff like solar, the other, you know, green methods of generation that we're all being encouraged? Can you put enough solar on your land to provide you even a worthwhile percentage of power without?
Yeah, you can. But the hard thing is for the farmers is that our surface water supply is so unpredictable and so unreliable that we don't know from year to year how much we'll get. So we don't know how much solar put in to figure out
Jason,
how much we need to supply. Because then
Jason, my question.
You overproduce.
Jason, yeah. Well, and then if you overproduce, my guess is that would go back into the power grid, which then would turn into a credit, which could be helpful. But I guess here's my question. I understand what you're saying, that if you're going to be running those pumps during certain hours a day and it's taken a lot of power, that one house isn't going to make a difference. But I just have to ask this. What happens when you lose your power because everybody goes, it doesn't matter? How much does that mess up running things on the farm during peak irrigation?
Well, it screws everything up.
Right.
You know, but like, it's just something you deal with, you know. But it's such a large block of energy that's going on. Like, it's not just a one-house problem. It's a big problem. And then if everyone bends over backwards to try to fix the problem individually, I mean, it's just a problem that PG&E needs to deal with.
Right, but I guess here's my question, though, is bending over backwards really like saying, hey, don't do your laundry from 6 to 10? or, you know, like kick the AC up a couple of degrees. I mean, because I would be willing to do that if that meant that me and my neighborhood did that so that you could run your wells when you need to be able to irrigate.
Yeah, but it's not going to make that difference. That's all I'm saying. I mean, what's for the 500,000? I mean, there's so much acreage being irrigated. I mean, there's other people that could probably speak to the specific amount of energy. I don't know that. I don't have those numbers. All I know is that, I mean, just think of, I mean, Philip could probably, he's good with numbers, but he can think of the amount of energy that goes to pulling 250 horsepower from, you know, 600 or 700 feet down in the ground and pulling it up and distributing it. I mean, that's a lot of power, right? I mean,
Jason, you
know,
I think
Philip, you're a very, like, you're a very common sense guy, right? Like, we're kind of like splitting hairs here, and it's like the problem is much bigger than that.
Well, and Jason, you're exactly right about that, and it's. Part of the problem is power generation, but that's only a tiny part of the problem now. The bigger issue is distribution across the grid and the grid's ability to tolerate temperature variances. Because notice we don't get flex alerts when it's very, very cold outside because our electrical system is moderated by the cold air and is therefore able to handle those higher demand loads when you're running your well and I'm running my heater and the guy down the street's charging his Tesla and on and on and on. Part of the issue is the infrastructure's out of date. Reducing the overall load across the infrastructure does matter. And so while you could have every house in Fresno go kill their main breaker and not have that be adequate to make up the agricultural demand in the outlying area, the issue was never the power generation. It was the distribution of the power. And if you're reducing the demand in one area, you have more avenues for distribution to the areas where it can't be reduced.
Well, and that's where I think maybe where Jason kind of is implying this all or nothing. If you can't make a big dent, it's not worth making a dent. But the reality is we're talking about just getting in within a window of tolerance during super high temperature days where there is the need for it.
But the CPUC doesn't do a great job of really explaining what we're doing. And so if you're in Jason's position where you're looking at a $10,000 monthly electric bill and you're going, great, so that's 2,000 houses that have to turn everything off in order for this one electric bill to be satisfied, that math doesn't pencil out. You're not going to ask 2,000 strangers to be in total discomfort so that I can run my well. And the power was there anyway, so what the hell are we doing? This has been one of the most difficult parts of getting people to understand what's going wrong with PG&E, what's going wrong with power infrastructure in California. The problem isn't the ability to make more electricity. Firing up another nuclear power plant is great if you can get the power where it's needed. And so if everybody in Fresno has solar, that's great. We're generating lots and lots of power. But if we can't get it to his farm to run that well, it doesn't make any difference. We're just generating power to make our houses hot.
Well, and I think the piece that I would push back on is the, you know, why bother because it doesn't matter mentality. First of all, it shuts everybody off to, then everybody's like, why bother? It doesn't matter. And that's why I asked, how sideways does it get when the power goes out? Because that's problematic if you're trying to irrigate on a certain a certain schedule and you've got to do that because then you really are stuck there with nothing. So if in those few days, and we're going to have a few of them, we're going to have a few flex alerts that starts, this is the first one of the season.
But what you're talking about there really goes to the root of the problem with what used to be a sensible movement for the entire environmentalism message. Because it used to be this message of if we take steps in the right direction, we will gradually and incrementally improve circumstances for everybody. The air will get better. The water will get better. The trees will be greener. The grass will be softer and so on. But as in all things, well-intentioned idiots and crazy people seeking attention and dare I say it, grifters looking to make a buck off of well-intentioned people who can't add, come swooping into the movement. And so environmentalism became this constant scolding of you're not doing things right and you're not running solar and you should be riding your bike instead of driving a car. And it was, you have to sacrifice everything tomorrow or the ice caps are going to melt and we're all going to float off into the ocean. And the reality is that it, all of this stuff needs to go back to the realistic incremental solutions that will affect the change that we need. I understand why Jason's attitude is, well, it's all or nothing, so screw it. I'll just be comfortable until we all die, because he's been told that if he doesn't sacrifice everything, we're all going to die.
Well, two things. Good thing we're here to clear that up. You're welcome. And if you need another excuse to hold off on laundry, literally, you're doing good things to keep Jason's wells running, and that's helping with the Flex Alert, which is going to be from 5 to 10 p.m. tonight.
If you want to know how in the bag Sacramento is, think about how hard they're pushing to eliminate gas-powered pickup trucks in the state while we're all standing here talking about how...
Now, no offense, Bailey, but part of your job around here is writing commercials, but you don't do a very good job.
How so?
All right. Don't get upset. I know you're a journalism school graduate, but you don't know how to put the bite in the old sales message.
For example?
For example, this copy from the North Mall Pet Village. Get a load of this, big guy. Wouldn't you like to come home to a cuddly, warm little companion like a Cocker Spaniel? What's wrong with that? I like it. Big guy, they're selling dogs left and right down there. What we gotta do is move the merchandise that's piling up in the back.
I see.
For example, Herb.
For example, Bailey, this is the way you write one of these things. Big snake sale. Save. Pick and choose. Mix and match. Everything smart down. These marvelous pets are quiet, hard to find. Rid your home of pesky rodents and unwanted baby chicks. Startle your friends today.
The man who brought Herb Tarlek to life, Frank Bonner, passed away 79 years old. He passed away yesterday as a result of complications from Lewy body dementia. And everybody knows him from WKRP. He was in a bunch of 70s and 80s television.
They brought back like the new WKRP. My generation might have known him from Saved by the Bell.
Yes, he directed Saved by the Bell, the new class. And he was hospitalized in October of 1979 following a parachute accident. His ascendancy chute collapsed in a freak gust of wind. Fortunately, he only fell about 20 feet. So,
because he was being towed by a four-wheel drive vehicle over a dry lake bed. It's sad that he has passed. I'm glad. I'm going to go back and watch some clips because you and Blake said it's if I'm going to come back in the building, I have to have some reference to WKRP. But I feel like if you've lived through an accident like that, that you just get automatic, just live forever. Like you defy death that one time, you're going to live to be 200 years old.
It was 20 feet, man.
But still, it was a freak parachuting accident. That's what I would say.
This guy... And by the way, he directed a bunch of this stuff. He wrote a bunch of this stuff. He was very much a part of it. What I enjoyed about his character and the way that Frank Bonner brought it, Herb Tarlek was the butt of every joke, of every scene that he was in, with about three exceptions. Almost the only time that he got to not be the butt of the joke was when he was interacting with the guy who played Les Nessman. And he just, like, complete, almost obliviously, this character keeps plugging away obnoxious, the check suits, the loud come-ons, the whole bit. And then about every fourth or fifth episode, something would come up, and this sleazy, horrible stereotyping of advertising salespeople would do something like genuinely kind, but always where nobody could see it.
I, for one, think his style was fantastic.
Oh, this guy was shopping the clearance racks in 1972.
I think, look, you have to have an image and know how to sell it. But to really...
The image is going to be forever white loafers and matching belt coiled under the desk.
Hey, if you really want to pay your respects to the late, great Herb Tarlick, then please, please find your white belts and wear them tomorrow.
R.I.P. Frank Bonner, dead at 79.